If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Peace Family is 19 Keys. Thanks for listening to the high-level audio experience. Make sure to give 5 stars and subscribe. Also, support the brand and get tickets to our upcoming tour by visiting 19keys.com/links. That's numbers 19keys.com/links.
So let me ask you, for those who have experienced a similar upbringing to you, right? Because it's interesting. I don't think a lot of males have the level of self-awareness to know why they do what they do.
Right.
Right? You know, a lot of times that psychology becomes easier to understand external people, right, in your environment, external factors versus diagnosing yourself, having the knowledge of your own root existence and why you are the way you are. So let's say starting off, because my mom used to always tell me that pimps don't like women. Right. She used to tell me that all the time. You feel me? And, you know, I grew up in Oakland, so of course I seen it, you feel me, on High Street. And even when I was younger, I always tell the story when I'm like 14, 15 years old in high school, you know, you had the black Muslims that had a lot of the security contracts out there. So one of the contracts they had was at this school in North Oakland. Mm-hmm. And particularly it was trying to keep the pimps from getting the young girls and taking them to Vegas.
Right.
You feel me? Because it was bad out there. So. Right. Here I am. They ain't really know how old I was, but I'm damn near almost just getting out of middle school. But my job was protecting, you know what I mean, these young children from being taken advantage of and thrown on a stroll.
Right.
So, but for those who have that mentality, because not even just the pimps, I think that there's a lot of men who don't know why they have a disdain for women. And you talked about two different things. One where you had somebody that took advantage of you when you was younger. Right. And then talking about, you know, the disdain that you may have had for your mother and rectifying that within yourself as a man.
Right.
I kind of wanted to get into the psychology of what would be your advice for men that's listening to this, you feel me, that don't understand why they have that. How can they get to that root awareness?
Well, mine was by default. But my experience of being in the game for over 40 some years and just watching these brothers who call themselves pimps. You know, I see that most of them had low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them, you know, were heartbroken by a woman. You know, a woman treated them bad, and a woman, you know, probably went and messed with one of their friends, and then, you know, they became desensitized. So the first thing, becoming pimping or becoming anything, a predator, whatever, you got to become desensitized. Once you become desensitized, then you don't have no value or no moral compass for what you do. You know, and you play this thing in your head that, hey, this is the game. Now I'm pimping and, you know, this is that, this is that, the other. But really, you know, just like the women, they are lost little boys and they are lost little girls trapped in grown men and grown women bodies. That's what it is. We are all trapped in, you know, who wants to send somebody out there in harm's way intentionally? And then another aspect of the game is, you know, you got men who have women and these women tell them what to do.
Mm.
You know, these women boss them around. You know, they came and tell a woman, give a woman $10 and tell her, go give me a soda and bring their change back. Let's know and bring them a trap back. So, you know what I'm saying? They had these issues with these women. You know, and then finally, sometime, you know, they just get them a little money, they get them a little jewelry, and they end up on the game. You know, we call them McGilla gorillas. We call them, you know, beginner's luck. Because they got some jewelry on, they got some watch, a woman to choose them from the game. And then that's how they get in the game. That's another aspect of the game. But then you got other guys who just love to control women. You know, it's all about the control. So I got partners, right, that's in the game. They don't care about the money. They just want to see that broad submit to them. You know what I'm saying? They just love the power of a woman bowing down to them because they may have had some bad experiences with a woman in their relationships. You know, like I said, you know, another thing that's with the game, you know, is a lot of dudes, you know, it's called graduation. If you're an armed robber, right? Well, let me just break it down. one game pay another game, right? If he's a drug dealer, right, he's going to sell you some drugs. You know what I'm saying? You probably get robbed by a jack boy. The jack boy going to go to the strip club. He's going to throw the money, make it rain. Then the girl that make it rain, she's going to give it to a pimp. Pimp got a nose problem. He's going to want some powder. The one game pay another game.
Mm.
But in the game, we got the elite game. And the elite game is pimping, I-N-G. I-N-G means I'm not going sending chick, right? You know what I'm saying? And that's what you get when you get into the game. And most guys can't reach that level. They can reach the armed robbery. They can reach the drug game. They can be the stick-up boy. You know what I'm saying? They can even be the trick in the club. But to reach that level of pimping, that's the elite game because it's a mind game. Even though the various reasons that I just explained, you still have to be mentally equipped to deal with a woman because a woman come more wired than a man. That's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, get a woman 7 years your junior. Because you want a woman to be younger than you because women mature faster. So imagine a prostitute that's out there turning dates and talking to everybody and being with every pimp. She gonna run circles around that little dude. You know what I'm saying? So you got to have some type of mental stamina to deal with the situation. You know, so all that encompass the whole scenario. But you still got to be ING. If you a pimp, that's a noun, person, place, or thing. But if you pimp in, that's ING. That means you're active and attractive. That's an active verb. You know, that's a action verb. You know, so that's where we get the differences in the game. So a lot of dudes want to go from the drug dealer. Like, remember I told you my brother, my partner gave me a pack?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, F that. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to try the game. You know what I'm saying? The game worked for me. And then some people take to the game, and a lot of people don't know this, brother, 19. You got brothers that you see and brothers that you don't see. The ones you don't see, they some real, real top flight dudes that got, live on golf course, got mansions, Rolls Royce, they right here. You know, and some of them ain't even this complexion. Some of them got the complexion for the connection. Some of them Europeans, you know, and they run major brothels and major massage parlors, and they Asian, and they get a whole bunch of money. But because of the exploitation films of the 1970s and the 60s, you know, you see the Mac, you see Willie Dolomite, you see Superfly, and that's the definition of the game. But being from the game, that is not even the game. Those dudes you see on International and on Clay Street and on Figaro, those are not real. They in the game, but they not the real ones that's really getting the money.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't get a lot of money flat back. Real guys that's in the game, they don't sell. They sell reality. It's a difference.
Mm.
You know, they teach these bras how to go on the trick, go in the casino and sit down. Because, you know, a lot of people don't know in the casino, you know, you can get as much money as you want out. And these girls, they go and they sit down with these guys and they go to these casino booths, these cashiers, and they get $10,000. And these dudes, you know, they give these girls all this money. But some of them, they go in these clubs, you know, and they sit down and they go in the VIP room. They never touch them. They sell pussyality. But a lot of dudes on the corner, how much, like Goldie, like you said, how much money can you really make on the track? You know, you can't make a lot of money on the track. And then the chances of her getting killed, the chance of her going to jail, the prospect of her getting taken by another P is high, you know. But the guys that really do it, that's a brother down in Miami right now. I ain't going to say his name, but he owns a strip club, and he got 21 bras. And they're all up on the contract, and it's all business. You know, what's that? Dennis Hoff, the Bunny Ranch. You know, that white dude was one of the richest white dudes before he died in the game. And he had everybody, you know, coming to his brothels buying legal prostitution. So it depends on how you look at it. Now, what's happening is, and I'm going to say this because I got to say this in conclusion before I forget. What's happening is we got a thing called human trafficking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Human trafficking is when you take a woman that's underage and have sex with her or sell her body. Human trafficking is you take a woman to the strip club and make her dance and take her money. Human trafficking is if you get a woman from me and she's been in the game and you take her and even though you didn't know that what was going on, you know, you still going to jail for that. Human trafficking is if you take a woman to the hotel and it's a sting operation, the police get there, they get you, you're going to be facing 15 to life. That's human trafficking. But the original human trafficking is how the slave owners that brought us to this country. How dare them call the so-called black man a human trafficker when we all was brought here against our will? That's why I said we non-immigrants, but they have taken something that they've done to us and put it on, and domesticated and put it on young African-American men. But initially, when you was watching 2020 and all these programs, they were saying it's for people from foreign countries who bringing young kids over here against their will, like from Guam and from the Philippines. Now it's domesticated, and you see all the brothers in the hood going to jail for human trafficking and getting 15 to life. But they don't, if that's the case, and it says retroactive, if it's retroactive, then, you know, what about the people that enslaved us? You know, if you look at in 1864, you had 5 million African-Americans, brothers and sisters enslaved. If you only gave them 50 cents in minimum wage, that's $4 a day. That's $20 million a day times 264 years, 250 years. And, you know, we look at this stuff and we say, man, what's going on? And then you look at how it came about, bro. You know, I talk about denouncing pimps up, hold down. I denounce American pimp. Think about this, 19 Keys. At that era and at that time, they propagated, they promoted that. They made me a superstar, Pippi Ken, everybody loving me, everybody loving Bishop Don Juan, We the Dudes, Kenny Red, and everything. And next thing you know, all the rappers start endorsing us. I'm on 80 million records with rappers talking about the game.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what happened? Right after that, they hit him with human trafficking. The same thing with Scarface. You remember Scarface?
Mm-hmm.
When Scarface first came on the booth, we all had Scarfaces and cigars. We all want to, you know, get that plug. And we all got that plug. Right after that, in 1984, you know, you started seeing crime deals. You started seeing trigger locks. You started seeing sentence enhancement law. You know, the 85% rule. And all that tied into the drug game. Nino Brown, Colors. What they do, you got brothers banging in Little Rock now because they watch Colors. So when they watch Pimps Up, Hoes Down, now they impressionable. Now they really want to be in the game. Some of them is in game by this. Some of them, you know, man, some of these dudes, man, these women, man, they paying fixed up garbage cans. Some of these dudes is monkey with no pockets. You know what I'm saying? They not no realism, you know what I'm saying? But they think they is because they see it. And now, you know, it got so profuse. And then if you look at the tracks that you're talking about, look at Figueroa. There's so many prostitutes walk around naked on there, right? Man, come on, man. These folks, man, this is the same people talking about COINTELPRO. You think they ain't setting us up? You think they ain't putting them girls out there, letting these guys put these women out there to set them up? Because if they got the human trafficking law, you know, look what they did to the Black Panthers. They had informants all in the Black Panthers. They probably got dudes out there talking about their ism and really ain't nothing but informant. And they making it think it's cool, and they ain't arresting women now because they know we're going to arrest, we're going to do a big sting. And that's why I try to tell the brothers, man, don't fall for the fried ice cream, because that's all it is. And that's why I try to tell brothers, man, if you can do, I mean, you don't have to be out there, doing all this stuff, man, to live well. You know, we live well, and I ain't doing none of that.
Yeah. I think when you get to the deeper root of it, because I think, you know, going back to the 70s and the Mac and all of those exploitation films, you know, a lot of that was them shifting over from this politically conscious culture, right, and pushing this pimp culture on us.
Yeah.
And so that's when bruh seen the pimp as the superhero. You feel me? He was the flyest. He wore the flamboyant clothes. He had the women. In those days, you know, the pimp was a fighter. You feel mm-hmm. me? He was strong.
Yeah.
You know, it was different. And so, yeah, that particular image became rampant. Yeah, it became impressionable for our culture. It became a part of
right.
our culture.
Mm-hmm.
But we always forget, okay, what was the culture before that?
Right.
You feel me? Which was of a higher, more advanced level, because we was really speaking on our own liberation and getting free. But now the version of who we are today is not a representation of who we used to be.
Right.
As far as where we were going. You talk Absolutely. About the Moore Science Temple. Those are right. brothers that focus on knowledge of self.
Right.
Right. And so now we at this standpoint to where, yeah, the pimping that you see out here now is a very low level of it.
Absolutely.
You feel me? It's guerrilla pimping. It's all of these things that's really based on people issues.
Give the game a black
You feel
out.
Me?
Yeah.
And, you know, prostitution and sex workers go back, right? Hundreds of thousands of years, right? And whether it was Mesoamerica to Rome to Greek to Japan, right? Between, I think, Asia and the North Americas, I think you're going to find the highest rate of sex workers in the world.
Right.
Right. And, you know, in most states in America, it's illegal besides Nevada, you know, but the way that we propagated in our culture, we don't push it if it's something wrong. And I want to kind of get your question is of how you view the modern day lens of like the sex liberation movement right? Because it's basically kind of self-pimping, you know, nowadays, right? Where you have the women who push out sexual liberation as a form of freedom against patriarchal control of their bodies.
Right.
And so, but when it really look at it, when I grew up and the way I look at a prostitute that was walking down High Street, it's the same way I look at a girl now that's walking down the street. I can't tell the difference.
Right.
Right. Because they wear the same uniform.
Absolutely.
So I want to kind of get into the psychology of, you know, what is the psychology of a woman that decides to be a sex worker, right? Because some of them, they impressioned by it being around them and being normalized, right?
Yeah.
Then they get into it. Some people, like, they were molested when they was younger. Some women, they do it just out of economic necessity. They need to pay some bills, right? Some are manipulated and exploited in the game. But when you looking at a young girl, right, what are some of the signs to see that she may go down that route?
Well, first sign that a brother that's in the game look for is somebody that's promiscuous. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we call it the neighborhood hoe.
Mm.
So when the PC see that, he's going to ride through that neighborhood in a new car, and she already motor drunk. That means that she cars, you know, she love cars. And then you pull up, and then when you get her in that car, you're going to say, hey, look, mommy, you're doing all this for nothing. Let me show you how to do this for something. So that usually comes from molestation. You know, it comes from being raped by a father or being raped by an uncle or raped by a brother. And now she don't have no value on her sexual preference, right, on her body. You know, she lose value because that was taken from her at a young age. And she don't see that virgin marriage. She don't see getting married and having, you know, somebody take her virginity, because her virginity was stolen from her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now she finds out early that sex is a weapon. So she weaponized her body and she used it against all the dudes in the hood to get weed and get liquor and so on and so forth and get her weight. But what the P does is he recognized, you know, this, and he preys on that. And he used that to his advantage. And then he showed how to get more money. He might say, look here, I got this dude. You know, he might get one of his OGs. He said, here you go, man, $500, man. Get this to this bra. Let her, you know, have sex. And then when she have sex, you know, she gonna get used to money. Then once she get the money, then she get into the actual culture and she see the other prostitutes and the P's, it become a part of her DNA. It's like, you know, like, hey, this is the game. I'm in this game. But you know, what people don't talk about is that nowadays, I just gave you that aspect. I'm gonna give you a whole nother aspect that's gonna be a whole nother perspective. Nowadays, you got Cardi B. You got Megan Thee Stallion, you got Sexy Red, you got all these women saying all this, I'm a hoe, I'm a B, I'm this, I'm that. And these young people are on Instagram. We didn't have Instagram in my day. And now they see how these girls are dancing and how they doing all this stuff, and they're following because they're very impressionable. Just like I said, how all the young dudes want to be a pimp because they seen Pimpin' Kid and Don Juan. You know what I'm saying? And Virgil. You know what I'm saying? So when they see all that impressed them. So they see, and then, you know, remember Lil Wayne, the rapper? Well, Lil Wayne said he was a blood, right?
Yeah.
Look what happened. The whole neighborhood, the whole country became blood.
Yeah.
You know, when Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B start being hoes, and I could say somebody else, but I know they married. I don't want them to be offended. But you got married women that are superstars, you know, that dress like prostitutes as well. If you go on the track and you go on TV, they dress just like the bras that's on the blade.
Right.
So all this is being psychologically, you know, we are creatures of habit, but we also are subjective. You know, we you know, subliminally, if through repetition, if you see stuff along, enough, you'll begin to believe that.
Right. Psychologically, if you call yourself a hoe, you call yourself a pimp, which comes from the culture of the music, you start to see that as an image of yourself, making it easier to accept as you grow up because you grow into it.
Yeah. Or if you listen to drill music.
Yeah.
It's obviously all the brothers in Chicago
right.
Going to be doing drills.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They're going to be killing each other because, you know, you're listening to it. And what people don't understand, the mind is a computer, right? Garbage in, garbage out. Everything you see, all these books, even your star and moon, your mind is simultaneously picking up this information. And it's going straight to your subconscious mind. Now, if you're listening to somebody talking about killing and all this every day, all day, guess what you're going to do? You're going to become a gangster.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen, if you're watching all these girls, you know, being sexy and sexy red, and you get, they see to get all the attention. Like I said, when Lil Wayne said he was a blood, everybody became a blood.
Mm-hmm.
I had pilots, man. I'm like, dude, when you become a blood? You know what I'm saying? But they became bloods, right?
Yeah.
Because of that money And let's say who complicit. The record labels is complicit. Why? Mm-hmm. Because they want these young men to be out here gang banging. They want them to be Bloods and Crips and GDs and Vice Lords. So they pay for that. They won't. They give Cardi B all these millions of dollars. They give Megan Thee Stallion all these millions of dollars. They give Nicki Minaj all these millions of dollars because they want them to promote that image, and that's what they're paying for. But they won't let their children do. So you ask any record label. Sit down with any exec and say, "So I just want to ask you a question, sir. Why would you put all this filth and debauchery into a community when you know the community is already suffering from poverty?"
Mm.
Or you know that's what they want to hear. If you ask any artist, say, Lil Wayne, what do they tell you when you...
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
You don't do certain things. You're not being hood enough. You're not being gangster enough. So it's social engineering as well. We're being engineered to be in pimps, hoes, and prostitutes, and gangsters, and killers.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I've been talking about when we look at the Olympics, right? The Olympics, you see us dominating in every single sport.
Right.
That's who we are.
Yeah.
An aspect of who we are. But when we talk about culture, we talk about culture under one lens, and that's usually hip-hop.
Right.
But in the reality of it is that we have been the greatest revolutionaries that the world has ever seen in the last 100-plus years. Yeah. Right? So that's our culture, mm-hmm. right? We are the greatest health advocates, the most influential men and women on the planet Earth. That's our culture. We are the greatest athletes, not just entertainers, but from a physical standpoint, because of the intelligence that is required to even reach that level. You looking at these some of these young men and women that's on the field and that's out there moving, they Harvard graduates and doctors. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Like, right. That's our culture, but we don't represent it as such. And that's why I say, you know, I was listening to a brother give a breakdown on how Marvel comics, only 1% of them have black characters in it, mm-hmm. right? They got more demons and monsters than they actually have black people in it, mm-hmm. even though that they're based upon us.
Right.
So there's this manipulation of our image is our lowest self. But in reality, I see more superheroes in real life of black men and women than I actually see on TV, right? So what we think about it, it becomes an outlier. Oh, that's not who I become. That's a one in a million. But if we've seen it on TV, then it become an image that we accept because impressionism goes both ways. There's, if you're a young child and you see Superman flying and you see Wolverine and Iron Man and Captain America, that's part of that self-esteem building to think, man, I could do and be anything, right? So when we go look at the Asian community, it's easy to be like, man, they got samurai warriors, they got Buddhists, monks, they be flying and doing all sort of amazing things. So when you see it on in real life, oh, that's who they are. That's normal, right? They seen as doctors and mathematicians and scientists and people of family and community. That's normal because the media projects that. So it produces an attitude about how you believe of yourself. But we have a fight against the image that we're shown, right? And that which we want to become.
Right.
So the bigger problem is like, you know, the whole thing of the black exploitation films, that was media.
Right.
Right. Then media didn't just want to get the image. They understand that it was a more effective devil. Actually, it was in the music.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because that becomes repetition because a person may watch a movie once, but they may listen to a song 1,000 times in a lifetime. So that reverberates in the mind as far as this is who I am. This is who I am. This is who I am. And you listening to it, saying it. Right. And then because you don't see anything else, then you don't want to be anything else. Yeah. So we're at this point in time now. This is why I do high level conversations is to get us to think. That critical thinking breaks the chain of the slavery that we have in our mind, right? And so being somebody, I didn't grow up in the streets. I grew up in the mines. I didn't see every aspect that you can see of the human reality,
right?
Right? I know pimps. I know people who killed pimps. You know what I'm saying? I know every aspect and I've experienced every aspect of, you know, that particular spectrum of consciousness. And now it's at this point where I realize, man, if number one, you have to have knowledge to break the chain, but two, you have to see it to believe it. Right. That only seeing greatness in real life circumstances is not enough. We need to see it in our image, in our imagination. Right. A young boy needs to see. We only got one Black Panther. Then he died. You feel me? And then that erased the actual reality of Black Panther. So instead of the culture being a representation of Man, we goddamn revolutionaries. There's never been a people of any other people in the time of history that has made more social progress for the whole world that has benefited. We are the ones that push movements. We are the greatest philosophers, right? That's why everybody quotes Malcolm X. You know what I'm saying? There ain't been, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan brought a million men together for atonement. That's our culture.
Right.
But we only make it seem as if music is our culture. No, that's our entertainment. And unfortunately, it's an aspect of our culture, and it's beautiful because we skilled at that because we are spiritual, and music is spiritual, right? And the way that we breathe and the way that we move is spiritual, but it's an aspect. It's not supposed to be the highest level of representation. Because when I did go to Africa, yeah, and I've talked about this before, I'm in the president's office, and the secretary for the president knew 50 Cent, but now Malcolm X. So you may think they veering you. You walking around, you know, with all this energy. Like, oh, yeah, they see me like they would see Malcolm walking through. No, they mm-hmm. see you like they see 50 Cent
right.
walking through.
Absolutely.
Right? They don't see you from the highest level. They see you from an entertainment level. Right? So what we import pimping. We import debauchery. We import death culture instead of life culture.
Right.
So now we're fighting backwards from an image standpoint. Yeah. So now you're trying to show them that you more than what they've seen their whole life. But the black men and women, man, we gods, really, right? But what we've seen is demons. So yeah, we got the drill movie. Yeah, we got the sex music. Man, all of that is go constantly being pushed by them. Now it's our turn to be like, all right, we're going to flip the switch on it.
Well, Brother 19 Keith, let's go back to the Great Pyramids, right? The first thing they did was they cut the nose. You know what I'm saying? They thieves, you know what I'm saying? Me and they say Herodotus is the father of history. He was a Greek. How you the father of history when you study Egyptian history? You the stepson, not the father. You know, we need to go read books like Chancellor Williams, The Destruction of the Black Civilization, The Stolen Legacy by James G.M. James. We need to study Dr. Naeem Akbar. Dr. Naeem Akbar make a very good point in Psychological Image and Change of Slavery. He said that the reason why the so-called black man do not like, despise work, is because we were forced to work for 250 years. So psychologically, we're talking about psychology now. Psychologically, we look at it as something negative.
But I don't even think we despise work, though.
Now, what I'm saying
is... I just don't think we like the work that we're given.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I guess what he's saying, I guess because I'm quoting him, I believe what he was trying to say was that, you know, when we first got out of slavery, they had, in 1866, they had black codes. I know you're familiar with the black codes. So the black codes were designed to put the black man back into slavery. You know, so a lot of black people looked at work at that time, newly free slaves, as a form of punishment because that was their reality. You think 250 years, you're forced to work. So you look at that as a punishment, right? So that's what he was saying. But Dr. Ben Jacana, he talked about, you know, the different names and the different terminologies. He said Africa's original name was Akubulan, you know. And we got to begin to go back to the roots. Minister Farrakhan often say, in order to know what is, you must know what was. You know what I'm saying, me? And I believe it was Elijah Muhammad said, out of all things, history is best recorded to reward all studies. So once we go back into time and we begin to extrapolate that wisdom from our ancient forefathers, as the Honorable Noble Drew Ali liked to say, and we study our higher self and our lower self, and we understand that the higher self are the mothers of virtue, the harmony of life, being justice, mercy, love, right? And that the hatred self be hatred, slander, looting, murder, theft, and everything to harm, then we can get ourselves out of the condition. See, the thought was the cause of it all. See, without a foe, a soldier never knows strength. Everything that's happening to us is happening to us for a reason. There's no accidents or coincidence. It's happened for brothers like yourself to redeem us. You know, you're a redeemer. You're a great redeemer. You're going to redeem a lot of people through this show. And what you're doing, you're using your wisdom and knowledge and understanding to go back and to regurgitate to your audience. And that's what we have to do. You got to be well-read. You got to study to show yourself approved. If you don't study, if you don't know your ancient forefathers, you don't know who the Egyptians was, if you don't know that the original Bible, he said, did you read the Bible? The original Bible was written on papyrus papers. But right now, they're in Berlin in a museum called the Berlin Museum. You know what they call them now? The Ryland papers, because a expeditionist went over there into Egypt. He got the original transcripts and he put them in the museum and he got the name. A lot of those Egyptian statues and stuff that were stolen from our ancient, you know, through the first and second dynasty from Imhotep and all this and all these different eras and times. I can go into it really deep, but I'm just going to be brief because I know you can't, it's too deep to go back.
Say what you got to say.
No, but But what I'm saying, those errors, you know, those things are the factor. You know, first of all, study yourself. Prophet Nabi Jali said, if you would ask me what to study, I would say yourselves. And you would well study them. He said, you ask me what to study enough, he said, I would say yourselves. You know what I mean? And he said selves because you got two selves. You got a higher self and a lower self. You know, man is the truth and falsehood strangely mixed. See, if the truth went for a swim, the truth don't change or pass away. And it was swimming and it saw a great river. It jumped in the river and falsehood came up on the scene. And falsehood put on truth clothes and fled the scene. When truth get out the water, Goldie gonna say, what you gonna do now, truth? He said, I'm just gonna be the naked truth. See, the truth don't change. You talk about Demar Vesey, Gabriel Prosser, you talk about John Horst, you talk about Nat Turner, great revolutionist. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you talk about Huey Newton, we talk about Elvis Cleveland, we talk about Malcolm X, we talk about Marcus Garvey, Noble Drew Ali, you know, all of the greats. You know, Martin Luther King, he was a revolutionist too. So, you know, all of these things we have to understand. We got to understand COINTELPRO. We got to understand how do we get this position. We got to realize what Brother Wesley Muhammad talk about when he talk about counterinsurgency drugs. Like you said, they gave the Panthers heroin. Tupac Mama was on heroin. Huey Newton was on heroin. What'd he do that at? Mm. You know what I'm saying? A lot of brothers, you know, the mayor up in Washington, D.C., smoking crack live on TV. What'd he do that at? Man, this is by design. But the only way you get out of being engineered, you got to de-engineer yourself. You know what I mean? You got to go all the way back and you got to study the history and you got to have a curriculum of inclusion. We got to quit talking about Maynard Keynes. We got to quit talking about Karl Marx. We got to talk about Mansa Musa, Suni Ali, Kwame Nkrumah. We got to talk about Charles Drew, Percy Julian. You know what I mean? We got to change the whole narrative. And that's what we're doing at the hip hop fraternity. You know, we inoculating this ism and this wisdom to these brothers, showing them another way. The Honorable Noble Jali said it takes finance to uplift the nation. What do he mean? He means that in order to brush your teeth, you need toothpaste. In order to take a boo-boo, you need toilet paper. So we got to start looking at the financial aspect. I think Dr. Claude Anderson said we got to practice group economics. The brother was dead. He was dead on it because he's true. That's true. You know, when you practice group economics, we pool our resources, we put our money together, then we can have, they got a little Italy, we can have a little Ghana. They got a little Cuba, we can have a little Ghana. We can have a little Nigeria. And that's what we need to focus on. We need to focus on that aspect of development. You know, knowing what happened to the pyramids, knowing what happened during the Shaka Zulu era. How did they trick Shaka Zulu in South Africa? What was the tricks that they used? What was it the tricks of the enemy? Once we understand the tricks of the enemy and we understand how the enemy moved, and we read books, like I said, the Destruction of the Black City, the Broder Files, all these books, they say, if you want to hide something from a brother, where you put it at? In a book. We got to start reading, brother. Readers are leaders. Once you start reading, your mind would expand to a whole nother horizon. I'm telling you, just from personal experience. You know, like I said, I couldn't read until I was 19. Mm. You know what I'm saying? They gave me the Iceberg Slim book. And you know, in prison, you got to pass the books around. Yeah. So my book took 2 months to pass. And they like, nigga, what's wrong with you? I'm trying to read. I'm done. And I got upset with myself because here I am talking about I'm this cold player. And I'm in jail and I can't even read. So I went and I took the GED course. I passed it, you know, high honors. Then I joined the prison college courses. And I started studying philosophy and just different stuff. And that just took me to a whole another world. I read this book called Think and Grow Rich. You ever read that book?
Yes,
by Napoleon Hill. I read that book and it just broadened my horizon. And I just became the person I am today. So when people hear me talking, they're like, oh, no, man. You know, you pimping. No, man. Pimping ain't who I am. It's what I did. That's over with. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, you know, you was protecting the young ladies from being prostitutes. You know, you was in and out to Mars. And you know, your daddy was on the militant side, you know, everybody did something. Now you're a leader. Man, I watch as you, you know what I'm saying?
Appreciate
I'm 60
that.
Years old. I watch you like I'm a student. I be like, man, yes, this sir. Brother, I be waiting for you to use one of the big words so I can write it down. You know what I'm saying? You know, so, you know, we need more brothers like you, man. The bottom line, we need more 19 Keys and Goldie and James C.B. Gray. That's why I keep around the young people. These are my leaders. You know, I follow him. You know what I'm saying? I stepped down from CEO, made him the CEO of the company. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and he's the one that, run Hip Hop Fraternity and Miss Catrice. She's younger than me. All them people younger than me. They, man, listen, And I think the biggest problem is a lot of our leadership, they suck on the popsicle too long until ain't nothing left but the stick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't know how to pass the baton. You know, and what happens is, you know, in the case of, you know, even with the nation, you know, you have Wolf D. Muhammad, you have Mr. Farrakhan, you have Wallace Muhammad, you know, all this. Now, I'm the real MC, what they call it, Eminem. I'm the real, I'm the real Slim Shady. You know, that real Slim Shady mentality. So what we need to do, you know what I'm saying, is we need to pass it on before we get to that point where we too old and people already locksmithed in us. And that's why Prophet Muhammad made a piece of the blessing of Allah be upon. That's why he never allowed no pictures to be made or shown to him, because he never wanted his people to worship him. You know, when Prophet Muhammad made a piece of the blessing of Allah be on him, when he went to the Kaaba, you know, before they kicked him out, he went to Medina and kicked him with the Ethiopian. When he came back to Mecca, he had to take all of the idolatrous, all of the idols of the people. He had 365 gods over in Mecca. He had to take all that out. He had to institute certain laws, you know, that the Muslims had to follow, because he was trying to teach them, you know, the power of the mind. You know, even when you read, the hadiths, you know what I'm saying? There's two of them, Bukhari and Muslim. But in one of them, you know, they talk about Prophet Muhammad was sitting, may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon him. He was sitting with his crew. And one of the crew members got up and they fled the scene. And then the brother started talking about it. And Prophet Muhammad, may the peace of Allah be upon him, said, "Hey, man, you remind me of a vulture. You know, you eat the flesh of your brother when he leaves." You know what I'm saying? And that's some of the things that we got to embark upon. You know, we just got to read, man. We got to study. We got to quit worshiping people. Our leaders got to pass the baton. You know, we got to let these people, you know, get new, fresh leadership like yourself. You know what I mean? I like you and Brother Ben and what's the tall dude's name?
RZA.
I like Wesley Muhammad. I like what your brother's doing, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what we need. We need brothers like y'all, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I learned so much from Brother Ben. I remember I did a podcast with Ben. He had a little camera. It was back in Dallas, man. It was about 5 or 10 years ago, you know, before he got started, you know, and he was representing the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Back in those days, Minister Farrakhan and Brother RZA, I love him too, but you know, you're my favorite. I'm sorry, Brother Ben.
well, let me get a little deeper and get back into some of the psychology of it all. First, I want you, if you can, define manipulation for me.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of times manipulation, you know, it falls up under the category when somebody try to, you know, have you do something against your will, or to manipulate you, or to con you, or to fool you, or to finesse you into doing something. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's a mental thing. So, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, what we see in America, you know, with this politics, there's a lot of manipulation going on. I think it was Brother Umar Johnson, you know, he said something about, you know, it ain't even nothing to do with the vote. It's Electoral College. You know, so the Electoral College, you know, when you see Hillary Clinton, in 16 getting the popular vote by 2 million, they picked Donald Trump. That's Electoral College. Gore lost the election as well. Electoral College. That's manipulation. They're manipulating us into believing that we have a voice in this government. You know what I'm saying? But if we had a voice in government, if we vote somebody in, why that person don't go into the office? That's manipulation. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, when we talked about, you know, the record label paying these people extremely enormous amount of money to do certain songs and stuff like that, so it can cause a certain effect in our community and cause our children to act a certain way. That's manipulation. So manipulation come in all sizes and disguises. But, you know, you have to have manipulation. A lot of times, you got good manipulation too. You know that, right?
Right.
You know, sometimes I used to manipulate my kids. You know how I used to manipulate them?
Mm.
I say, you know, if my son little Kenny or Supreme did some bad stuff, I give them 10 words. I make them write each one of them words. They got to write them 1,000 times. I was manipulating them into being smart. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so you can use it in a positive way. And that's how I use my manipulation on my children. You know, I tell them certain things that we're going to do, or, you know, I mean, like, okay, if you want something from the ism, right, the game. So if a woman, if I really liked a woman, I'm going to act like I don't like her.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? A pretty woman don't get no respect from me. And I don't mean it disrespectful. I mean, I don't sweat her. You know, I let her. You know, and I, like, a woman came up to me one time. She said, "I'm 29. I said, "I'm 60. You too young for me." And she said, "I'm too young for you, I was playing with her, and that made her want to get with me even more because mm-hmm. I told her that I'm not interested. That's a form of manipulation. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. I mean, by definition, manipulation is finding a clever way to get somebody to do something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, it can be good or bad, depending on, because with children, parents manipulate all day. Like you talked about
politics. Kids manipulate too, right?
They manipulate all day. Marketing itself is manipulation, yeah. right? Otherwise, it wouldn't be no marketing. Right, but we figure out psychology, whether it's selling something at $100 or selling at $99.99, because we know that people think about that as cheaper rather than $100.
Yeah.
It's all a form of manipulation. And I believe, you know, people would live greater lives if they could see it. Mm-hmm. Most people can't see it.
Right.
Deception is very powerful.
Yeah.
Right? We grew up and they called it tricknology. You feel me?
Yeah, tricknology.
And so that tricknology is everywhere, but most people don't have the eyes to see the tricknology.
Peace Family is 19 Keys. Thanks for listening to the High Level Audio Experience. Make sure to give 5 stars and subscribe. Also, support the brand and get tickets to our upcoming tour by visiting 19keys.com/links. That's numbers 19keys.com/links.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.